Yes, we are all set.
Great. Thank you, Laura. Well, welcome everyone, and thank you for making this a priority to attend. As you see, all the guests have been muted until so that we don't have feedback, but officially call the meeting to order. It is 12:02 p.m. Is there anyone from the public that would like to make a comment? If not, we'll move along. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the May 26, 2021 meeting?
So moved. John Coleman.
Second. By
John Coleman, seconded by Chuck Beckett. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, everyone. In your packet today, you received the correspondence and the handout of the youth car theft in Connecticut. And for those, should be an interesting sign up. Lyle, did you want to talk a little bit more deeper about this?
Yeah, we had a few personnel changes there. Mayor Stewart can't make it. Senator Anwar is overseas for a funeral. But other than that, I think we've got almost 300 people attending it. This is the first of two. This one will have mayors, police chiefs, and a few policy folks. October 12th, we have more of a nutsy, boltsy discussion with the state's attorney and people working in the actual bowels of the youth criminal justice system. So this is an overview. Ken Barone, who's now at the Department of Public Policy at UConn, with the Institute for Municipal Research, is going to give the keynote content on what's going on and what the options are. You can still sign up if you want us to get you in. But as I say, we're about at 300, which is a record. And October 12th at noon will be part two of the event.
Oh, I think I just accidentally deleted it. Shoot. Anyways, can you know, the one difficulty that I thought was saw with this is that it doesn't send a calendar hold event. You have to retain the you know, click here.
Yep, I understand. I always want people to send Outlook invites, but they always send emails, and you got to find out who the heck sent that email, and you got to sort of put it in your calendar, which is another step. But yeah. UConn does things their own way, but. We can still get you in. Again, there's no limit in terms of number of folks. So you still want to get in.
No, I actually registered. It just, okay. When I would just wipe this off my calendar accidentally, I realized now I don't have my link because I put the link in there. So I'm just posing okay. That as a challenge. Oh, if you can just send it out to the members that are here, the link, so that we could link on, that'd be great. All right. This should be really good, a really good and informative event. There isn't any community that's not being impacted by this. So certainly, I think the more the people that can get on the same page with where we are and what the path forward will be great. For monthly reports, Lyle, Pauline.
So before we get to the monthly reports, in your packet was the RSD spending report, which we will be submitting to OPM at the end of this week. It's statutorily required, and it basically takes all of our regional activities and puts it into a different format for OPM according to their statute. And if I may just move into the next item on the municipal job portal. There actually wasn't a handout, but we are now recruiting for pilot towns. Robin Nichols, who we recently hired as a principal program manager, will be shepherding that, and she will be sending out some demo dates to policy board members and municipal services members. And if you're interested, please attend those demos and pass it along to your HR managers.
Opportunities and resources. A Colleen?
So the only thing that I have is that FEMA has offered all the regions the opportunity for them to sort of play matchmaker to funding opportunities and from various agencies. And the due date for the state committee is October 7th for that. We've sent out information to Municipal Services Committee members. If you're interested, please follow up with me. Some of that have come through include purchasing housing for homelessness, hotels or defunct hotels to deal with homelessness, Crumbling Foundation's assessment for municipal and commercial buildings, just figuring out what the problem is there. I'd like to put something in for solid waste, but I'm not sure exactly what format that project would take and what it would look like at this point in time.
Any questions for Pauline? Next item on the agenda is Municipal Services and Purchasing Council for recognized Peter Sousa. If there's any questions on what's been reported?
It's pretty straightforward. And I do want to welcome Robin Nichols. As Pauline said, Robin is our new principal program manager under Municipal Services. So welcome to Robin.
Thank you. Welcome, Robin. The policy and planning, we have Tim Malone. If there's any questions on the policy and planning components that was sent to you. Maureen Goulet is back at CROG. A couple of key notes here, especially in regards to the FICTED meeting that was held on September 14th. If anyone has any questions, they certainly can ask him. Public Safety and Homeland Security, Cheryl Cease Subcommittee, reporting on a variety of things, the Homeland Security Grant Initiative, and other highlights. If there's any questions, please raise them now. And John Coleman, the Transportation Committee met. There was a summary, and we have some action items. He has some items to report a little bit later, and two action items that we'll take up a little bit later. Metro Hartford Alliance was tentative. I'm not sure if someone is here. If not, we'll move on. Capital Workforce Partners. I'm not seeing who's here. I guess not. And the Ad Hoc Executive Director Search Committee, for the purposes of kind of a discussion or where we are. John, do you want to talk a little bit about where we are, just to give an overview?
Certainly, Madam Mayor. Thank you. We're making progress. The search consultant right now is in the process of vetting 14 of the 37 applicants that we received. They're doing reference checks, Zoom interviews, social media, the whole thing. And the members of the ad hoc committee are going to get a written report from them on October 1. And then we will be scheduling a Zoom meeting with the consultant on the 7th of October to narrow the candidates down to probably about six. And then shortly thereafter, with scheduling permitting, we're going to conduct interviews with those six with the intent of making a recommendation to the policy board at its October meeting.
Thank you, John. Any questions for John in regards to the process that is underway? If not, we'll move on. We have a presentation today. And we have Ann O'Brien, who's the Director of Community Engagement, to talk to us about the Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Services, called an acronym IRIS, with us today. So, Ann, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am here. My apologies. I was trying to watch the clock and saw that you'd originally scheduled for 12:15, 12:20, but you guys are running ahead of schedule. I'm impressed.
Great, thank you.
Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Thumbs up?
Yep. Perfect.
Great. I apologize for any background noise. For reasons I will not bore you with, I'm dialing in today from just outside a library in Burlington, Connecticut, which is a lovely little town in Connecticut. I highly suggest you check it out, and they've got a great library. But I do not have any slides to share with you right now. If it's okay, I'll just talk to the group. For those that are not familiar with IRIS, and by the way, I wanted to ask, how much time do I have? Is it just like 10 minutes or?
Since we're running a little bit ahead of schedule, I would say 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, perfect. I'll gauge appropriately, accordingly. So for those that are not familiar with us, IRIS, Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Services, we're based in New Haven, but we are also opening an office in Hartford. And we actually work with refugees and immigrants around the state. And over the past 5 years have pioneered in a model where we actually work with community groups in over 50 different towns to welcome and resettle refugee families that are newly arrived in towns all over the state. So we retooled and piloted that model back in 2016 with the Syrian crisis. And it is coming to full fruition in the current day to help us try to respond to the crisis in Afghanistan. I'll just give you a quick overview. IRIS itself, what we do is, at our core program is we welcome refugee families when they first get to the United States. It's a federal refugee resettlement program. Those families, when they arrive in the U.S., we've usually been given 5 to 10 days notice. And we've been able to get a little bit of information about the composition of the family. We find them an apartment. They come with literally, typically nothing or maybe one small bag of clothes. We find them an apartment that we know they're going to be able to afford, very low income apartment. And we furnish it with donated goods. We get the adults as soon as possible connected to healthcare. We get them in English classes. We help them find a job. We get the kids enrolled in school. We basically provide wraparound services to make sure that that family can meet their goal for self-sufficiency. And our goal is for them to do that in 6 months or less. That's also a goal that the federal government has for this resettlement program. So that's one of our core services. We also provide an extensive array of other services and serve any immigrant population. But the reason I'm here today is to talk to you specifically about that refugee resettlement program and as it pertains to what everybody saw in the news in the month of August and the crisis in Afghanistan. So just to give you a picture of things, I mentioned that we welcome these families, you know, in general. Before August of this year. And we do it on a regular basis. It's what we do across the state. And we typically get about 10 days notice. Well, on August 4th, when everybody saw things devolving in terms of the Afghan government's collapse and the Taliban taking over parts of the country rapid fire, we were put on notice by the federal government to begin prepare to receive families on 24-hour notice. If that seems like short notice to you all, it is. It was even short notice for us. So, and the reason for that was because they were evacuating those families, as everybody saw in the news. And they were doing it in large numbers. And while some of them were going to neighboring countries, others were coming here. And for those that weren't aware, we do have close to 75,000 Afghan family refugees, evacuees, on military bases in the U.S., in a number of different states. Right now, those individuals are, they're being housed and fed. They're being given immunizations as well as the COVID vaccine. And they are being redistributed to communities where there are resettlement agencies like ours. But again, on August 4th, our agency was given 24 hours notice to begin receiving these individuals. The reason that it's a little different this time is because although these families have some type of a connection to, they're usually the mother, father, brother, sister of someone who worked for the U.S. military and that someone was likely brought to our country previously and resettled, the reality is this additional ring of family members whose lives became threatened because of the rapid fire fall of the Afghan government and the U.S. pullout. These families did not have a special immigration status to bring them in on short notice. And it's that immigration status that is being crafted with Congress right now. But our agency, like agencies around the country, were asked to A, take the families on 24 hours notice, which IRIS started doing in August. We received, I think it's up to 9 families now. And B, we were asked as an agency to commit to how many we would receive per month for the next 3 months. That was fine. We are a humanitarian organization and we committed to receiving roughly 100 per month for the next 3 months. What was not fine is that the federal government had yet to define how they would help us do that. So usually when we get a refugee family, we get a very small amount of money. It's not enough to do what we need to do. It's literally $1,000 per person. And we use that money to put a security deposit on an apartment and pay part of the first month's rent. And then we work from there using private funds. But they are those refugee families that come through the normal process. They're eligible for Medicaid health insurance. They're eligible for food stamps until they get their jobs, right? And it is our responsibility to help them get that first job and be self-sufficient. With this new category that is waiting on the bases, that is starting to come to us, those benefits are not yet in place. So we as an agency stepped out in faith and do not yet have confirmation from the federal government that those benefits will come through. They asked us to commit to receive them and to start receiving them without that being in place. And so we have done that. I'm letting you all know, just because I want you all to be informed, that we are working with all of the various government officials, state and otherwise, and in the cities in New Haven, as well as Hartford. And then we are activating our community groups around the state and asking them to rapidly form and train with us under this new program so that we can make sure the families are placed not just in New Haven and Hartford, but also in other towns. These community groups have a great deal of experience in working with us, but it is rapid fire for them to organize in the matter of a couple of months as opposed to 6 to 9 months because they are all volunteers. But we are doing that and asking these community groups to form and to help us in resettling some of these families because of the enormous financial burden since the U.S. government has not defined support services for them. They also will be families that, unless the U.S. government defines a path to citizenship, they'll have to apply for asylum. So it's as if we have brought them here, and yet we do not have a defined path to citizenship for them. So those community groups, as well as IRIS, will be having to source immigration legal services to make all of their applications for asylum. Obviously, the chances are highly likely that the asylum claims will be honored because they were evacuated by the U.S. military and there was screening put in place. However, it is an enormously taxing situation to be asking our community groups to do this on short notice. And they will be reaching out to the various government officials in their local areas to let them know they're doing this as a volunteer humanitarian partnership with us. So I wanted to just start getting the word out about this, that we're participating. Just so you know, this conversation that, you know, IRIS is having with the community groups, that IRIS is having with all of the different government officials in the different cities and states, that exact same conversation is happening in every state and every major city across the nation. With the little nuance that in California, because they have so many internally displaced Americans due to the wildfires, that the rest of the states are going to try, and the rest of the agencies are going to try to take a little bit of volume off of California, because they literally do not have anywhere to put people, and they're still taking folks. I'm going to stop there because I have spewed a lot of information to you, and it's all probably fairly different. I want to stop and take questions.
All right. Does anyone have any questions for Anne?
What are you asking this group to do? I listen to what you're, you know, this. Well, let me just ask that. What are you asking this group to do right at the beginning?
So the first thing that I wanted to ask you to do is to make sure that you can ask questions to fully understand what gaps you have in knowledge, right? I'm not familiar with each of you to know how familiar you are with refugee resettlement, how familiar you are with IRIS or our model of resettling with community groups. So I wanted to make sure I left the opportunity and that you ask questions so that if you have questions about us or about the population that we're resettling, I wanted to be able to address those. The second thing is to think about if there are groups that you are connected with in your communities that would be good to have someone like myself or another speaker from our organization come talk to via Zoom or otherwise to begin spreading the awareness and to keep that awareness heightened so that we provide a warm welcome to these families. Again, these are families that have come to us because they uphold the ideal of democracy in Afghanistan. And then their lives became threatened just because of that. So we want to make sure that everybody is clear on that before these families are resettled in their towns. So that's the other ask, is that you think about whether or not there are opportunities for us to come speak and to keep awareness raised. The press, after a while, will subside. It already has in terms of coverage. Yet the real need will come when the families get here. So we want to make sure we do everything we can to keep awareness raised.
Questions for Anne? I actually have a few, Anne.
Okay, great.
Can you tell me where you will choose to resettle these people?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Where you will find to resettle these 300 people that you've committed to?
Right. So definitely we will be resettling a certain, you know, a larger portion in the New Haven and Hartford areas. Mm-hmm. However, we're currently working with community groups that are getting close to giving us a green light in towns all over Connecticut. So Danbury, Stanford, Fairfield, up in Mansfield, in Hartford, through community groups as well as through our agency. So the list goes on. We have at least 20 that are close to giving us what we call a green light, and then another 20 that are working to pull together the volunteers and the resources that we require they do before we approve them. So we hope it'll be really widespread, because there has been an enormous outpouring of support, and we want to be able to, you know, let the families feel that when they come here.
And do these families, do they come with resources themselves?
No, they typically do not. So the reason for that is because, in part, you know, at the end of July, the majority of the individuals that were supportive of democracy in Afghanistan felt that the Afghan government was strong enough that it would survive the U.S. pulling out. And everybody was wrong. And so they literally had to emergently leave their homes to try to get to safety. And before they could do that through a border crossing, the Taliban took control of the borders, and the only way out was through an evacuation flight through the U.S. So if they had some funds, they might have a little bit, but these are not necessarily wealthy people. The ones that did have wealth were probably able to get out by their own means, right? That having been said, we know, because we know their family members that have come before, that they just want to work and have a safe life and their kids go to school. And we have the experience of helping them get jobs. So we know how to do that, and our volunteer groups do as well. It's what we do.
And of the 300 that you will be looking to resettle, do any have family members here that they're fortunate enough to have family members in the United States?
That's a great question. We won't know until they're assigned to us. We did already receive 9 families, and half of them did have contacts here in either New Haven or Hartford. And so those individuals help them with their resettlement. But it is likely that we will get folks that do not have family in this state, simply because California is so overwhelmed. And yet California is the, Sacramento specifically, is the largest Afghan population in the entire U.S. But those resettlement agencies are beyond overwhelmed. They can't find apartments. They can't even find hotels. There are too many displaced people from the wildfires. And so they've had to set a limit. So it's likely that we will get people that have no family and no contacts. But we do that every day of the year as it is, as do our community groups, in terms of welcoming those types of families. That's why the community groups are honestly so powerful, is because they really provide that bridge for the family, getting them connected in the community, getting them acclimated, and so forth.
Do that? Will they also, will the government also support their ability to become educated on a, or is that something the state would kind of set up? And I'm just thinking, is there an opportunity for these residents that are coming to Connecticut to attend a community college to get a degree? Is there, or advanced training in manufacturing? Is there some way that
great question.
The agency will connect them to get the skills they need for jobs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do have within our paid staff, we have employment services individuals that this is what they do all day long. They meet with the refugees. They understand their experience. They help them put together a typical U.S. resume. If they have education that can be continued here, we have somebody in higher education that does that. We train our community group volunteers to do that where they are. So for instance, in Danbury, there's volunteers that have backgrounds in education that will assess the family's English levels, will help them find the right level of job, and where appropriate, continue their education. But I will tell you, the first and foremost focus for all of these families will be financial self-sufficiency. So the vast majority, the primary focus will be on ESL, so English language learning. If the family members are not English language proficient, and obtaining jobs. These families will typically need every adult and teenager that can have a job to have one. The stereotypical, you know, immigrant experience, right? That we all know in America. And that's how these families will become self-sufficient, is through as much English language acquisition out of the gate, as well as those first entry level jobs.
Anyone else have any questions for Ann?
Madam Chair, this is Randall. I have a quick question.
Uh-huh.
So my question is, you circling back, you talked about connecting your organization to other organizations. And my question for you is, are you already connected at the state level with housing advocates? And it might help us to know who those are. And also, you know, in larger cities like New Haven and Bridgeport, there are very clear existing groups that do this work. And who are you already connected with?
Right. So great question. I didn't mention that out of the gate, but the governor, as of last week, put together a task force, and we're meeting on every Tuesday morning for about 20 minutes. And so all of the state, I would have to go through the list. There's literally about 30 people on it. And I would assume that all the right housing folks are on there from a state level, as well as a couple of the major cities. The challenge for them will be the same challenge that we have, which is, you know, the housing market is just so tight right now. There's so little available that particularly that is affordable. Also in terms of the actual, you know, Section 8 affordable housing, There are a long, long list for that. So, and these families that are arriving under this humanitarian evacuee status would not immediately be available or eligible for Section 8 housing. We have to literally find private apartments and rent them for them. We've been overwhelmed with an offering from the, you know, from the public of, you know, I'm an empty nester, I've got two bedrooms and a, you know, a bathroom, that type of situation. And those are incredibly generous hearted. You know, a 24/7 play date for 3 weeks with two families goes pear-shaped pretty quickly. And then we get the family back on our doorstep. So we're being very judicious in using one or two of those where there's a complete separate entrance. If the nanny's quarter, one or two of them. But yeah, we are connected, as far as I know, with all of the right folks from a housing standpoint. And if you send me your email address afterward, I'm happy to send you the specifics as to who those are. But that having been said, we literally went out and as we see affordable apartments coming on the market, either in New Haven, Hartford, or in communities where we know we have groups forming, we, Iris, are leasing the apartment. So, and then we'll transfer the lease later to whatever family and community group, because that's how tight the market is. And we can't have these families, you know, living in hotels indefinitely. That's not going to go well for anyone. So that's another reason why we're going and talking to groups like yours and in many places as possible, so that everyone's aware of the need to get apartments, to form these community groups. And then we know by doing this grassroots wise, it will move much faster than really anything could, anybody could do at a government level, given the current situation.
Any other questions for Anne? Anne, thank you so much for being with us today and kind of sharing an overview of what we can anticipate and how we can be of support for you.
Absolutely. Would it be okay for me to put my email address in the chat?
Sure. Yep, perfect.
And if for some reason you send me an email and I do not get back to you in a timely fashion, please do bring your email back up in my inbox. We have been absolutely overwhelmed with the interest to help, and we're trying to prioritize, you know, folks like you all that are in a position of strength and position to help us in pretty unique ways. So please don't be shy about bringing your email up in my inbox if I don't respond in a day or two.
Great.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very
much. I really appreciate it.
Be well. Thank you, Anne.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
We have several action items that are coming before the board. And the first one is a resolution authorizing a one-year extension of the Northeast and Southeast EZICQ, IQC, regional contractors awards for general construction for the purposes of motion.
So move, John Coleman.
Second.
Who is second?
Chip.
Okay, John Coleman and Chip Beckett. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, certainly support this and utilize it. It's been a great asset. So we'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next action item we have is a resolution authorizing the acting interim. Notice that I'm amending this as language, acting interim executive director with the same authority previously given to Lyle Ray as executive director. Do I have a motion to move?
So move, Madam Chair.
John second. Cohen.
Who is the second?
Chip.
Chip Beckett. Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. The next item we have is the CROG annual holiday schedule for the purposes of motion. Do I have a movement? Moving.
No move, Madam Chair.
Second.
Second, Chip. Any discussion? I did notice that you were adding Juneteenth and taking out your floating holiday.
Correct, Mayor. One thing to note is that because the fiscal year already started, we have some staff who have already taken their floating holidays, so we would giving all staff the floating holiday for just this fiscal year only. So you would end up with 14 days this year.
That's very well. Any other discussions? If not, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. The next action item we have before you is a memorandum in regard to ARPA funding for regional opportunities. For that, let's have Pauline, why don't you give us a little bit of a discussion. I know we've discussed that previously.
So this was actually Lyle's brainchild, so I might defer to him, if I may, with regards to this. Basically, the ARPA funding, funding that would have gone to counties went to the towns in the states that don't have counties or recognized county government. And our idea here is to assist the towns in some way with regional activities that are CROG-oriented, with some of that funding that would have gone to the counties.
So the one thing that I'm noting in here is that there really isn't a a really finite plan that's in place on how it would be approved or under what circumstances would it be approved, or how are you going to ensure that every community would participate?
So there really isn't a way to ensure that every community would participate, because it would be on a voluntary basis, because that is one thing. I think the way it would probably move forward is that the participating communities would have a say in terms of how CROG structures those regional activities. I know that some thoughts also include sort of an ARPA consultant isn't the right word, but technical assistance in terms of fulfilling the ARPA requirements for the smaller towns as one thought, in terms of making sure that all the T's are crossed and I's dotted in terms of the reporting requirements, the contracting requirements, as they can be kind of extensive and not very easy.
Madam Chair, if you recognize a guest, I could add maybe a tidbit to this, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
This is at the stage of a conversation with CCM and their ARPA committee, as well as the executive director. Without trying to put Joe DeLong in a bad position, I think he's generally supportive of this, the committee endorsing a 2% set-aside that the towns would offer would be voluntary, but at least an endorsement from the CCM ARPA committee is one of the steps on this. Plus, I think the conversation here about the benefits that might be received by using that 2% of the $691 million for municipalities across the state. But the upshot is, I think the ARPA CCM committee is one track, and then seeing what the willingness of member communities in CROG is for going ahead with this. It's entirely voluntary.
Any discussions?
I think it might.
Go ahead, Chuck. Chuck.
I think it would. It's a good idea. It may not be roundly supported, but I think we have a long list of things that we've talked about doing as a region, and I think it does give us a way to talk about doing some of those regional things and having the money to pursue them.
Madam Chair, this is Chris Kervick. My idea is that if we can get assistance with the reporting requirements alone, that is a value for us, because we have we've set aside funds in our ARPA plan, our recommendations for gaining that assistance. But
yep,
there's no ARPA, there's no one that can claim ARPA experience and they know how to. I mean, it's new, it's brand new, And for us to go out and independently try and find a person to fulfill that role, it would be very difficult. But if CROG can bring in someone who has that expertise and can spread that around, and we can put our 2% and get that value, then for us it's worth it, because we probably couldn't find that right person on our own. So that's how I'm viewing it, and that's why we've included our 2% in our calculations, because we think that's the value we'll receive.
Do you presently receive CDBG funding, Chris?
Well, right now it's in consult in combination with another town. Yeah,
they're not a
recipient town.
They're a competitive town, not a not over 50,000 town.
Right,
John L. Sisser, if I may quickly, I think if we have a precise kind of a more detailed list of the types of projects, and I would urge that we seem to always need more money for the GIS system to get it really functional. There just always seems to be some issues that aren't resolvable, like the search function is still weak. So I would urge that GIS, which is an economic development tool, I use it a lot every week, and that's certainly a regional tool. And I think adding that to a list for continuing improvement and enhancement would be helpful.
So the one thing that I'm going to say is that the ARPA funding that has to fit into any the criteria categories as outlined by the federal government.
And economic development and growth does.
Yeah. Okay. I want to make sure that we identify those areas. And I guess my other question is kind of, you know, there obviously is going to be communities like the city of Hartford that has received significant amount of revenue and will be putting their money into play if they participate, which will be a lot greater a contribution. I don't know. Any other thoughts?
So I would hi, this is Randall. Just a quick comment with regard to the fact that this fits into the economic development realm. One of the things that we are discussing here in the city of Hartford is that currently the federal guidance is not nearly as clear as we would like it. So I do think it's imperative to understand what the eligibility criteria are for specific project, just because it's not as clear as it should be.
Marcia, seeing this money doesn't have to be spent for a couple of years, I would think that we should send this to all the towns so they could share it with their town councils. And while Lyle's working with CCM, so that we can have a conversation about it and kind of understand what we would and refine our list of things that we might do. Like John said, the economic development and the assistance. Because I think that would be helpful for people to understand, and just instead of just saying that I want 2% of your money, which I know is going to be the headline everybody reads.
And I'm sure if I could just jump in one more time, I think the points that first Selectman Kerbick talked about are actually very popular in other parts of the state. In other words, Randall brought up the issue of you know, seeing what's eligible. Many, many people are concerned about the complexity of reporting under the Treasury Department guidelines to the federal government. And I think that's where the Northeast, the Northwest, and some others are actually moving in pretty aggressively to help smaller communities in particular to deal with that reporting on a systematic basis rather than each town having to try to figure it out on their own. But I just wanted to add that to the mix.
Do I have a motion to... What do you want the motion to be? You want us to, I mean, we certainly can't speak on, we can't make a motion on behalf of communities to necessarily participate.
Chair, I would suggest you send this out as a request for towns to consider 2% set aside. The only concern with John Elsesser's list is, I think that list needs to be developed, of asks is it would be developed by CROG member towns. We're not giving you a menu now. We want to say, particularly with Chris's point about administration is one major issue, and then other elements that might be permitted. But the suggestion, I think, for the memo or the motion would be authorize Pauline to send this out to all communities requesting them set aside 2% with a process to determine which priorities would be funded, including the issue of administrative assistance in terms of reporting under the federal requirements.
Okay. Do we want to communicate that with a return date of the, you know, a town to recognize their interest?
Yeah.
Because the longer we wait, the more, you know, we've already done our allocations, so I would have to go back and have an amendment done. So,
right. Has to be done quickly.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably come up with a date for the legislative body to commit or not commit and right. and to up to 2%. I would say, I wouldn't necessarily yep. say 2%. I would say up to.
Yep.
Yeah. If I may, that I was kind of responding to the letter that was sent out, which, you know, specifically said it's in the agenda packet. Potential okay. projects would be vetted and approved by the policy board and participating municipalities would be right. as follows. So there was a specific list. And, you know, that's why I was suggesting that something be added to the list or that specific list be broader. Because
absolutely. Right.
What if we, Madam Chairman, approached it this way? We're kind of talking about two different things. We're sort of talking about offering technical assistance, and then we're talking about using any excess money that might be available to develop programming that towns could or could not sign into. What if we approach it and say we'd like to have towns consider giving 2% to obtain this technical assistance and to further develop potential programming, you know, on a regional basis that towns could participate in. It's kind of like the narrow and the broad, and I don't want to not get the narrow because we are not quite sure how the broad is going to pay out. It's like two different levels. Now I'm not sure I'm prepared to figure out how to put that into motion, but I can try. Uh-huh. You know, like if you look at the list that's there, fully staffing regional recovery coordinator, That's on the narrow side. Small business technical assistance, kind of on the broad side. Grants to small business, broad. Broadband implementation, I think that's kind of broad. Assistance with ARPA funding, reporting, and coordinates, that's narrow. So maybe the approach could be that for our 2%, we know we're going to get the first one and the last one, and we are going to consider based on the resources that are produced by the towns that choose to contribute 2%, additional programming or regional approaches to programming or spending that you know that can be developed by CROG or policy board.
And we have a question from Steve in Manchester with his hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. So I just wanted to, I think one thing that needs to be discussed, and this is Steve Stefan, I'm the acting general manager, taking over for Scott in an interim capacity. You know, for Manchester, we have $25 million coming in. So I would have a tough time asking our board of directors to commit $500,000, especially for an organization of our size. We do have sort of the resources to administer the ARPA funding and the reporting requirements. And we're internally talking about doing similar things like a small business grant program to local businesses. So I think having a little more detail, I'm certainly in favor of advocating a certain portion towards a regional initiative. But I think to John's point, having a little more detail about what we would actually get out of this, where some of our larger municipalities would get out of it compared to smaller ones would be important to consider.
I think just as a point of clarification, the thought was 2% of what would have gone to the counties as opposed to 2% of the entire amount.
Right. So that would be 2% of probably 9 million for Manchester, roughly 9 million.
Yeah.
So you're talking 180,000, which is still a substantial amount of money to contribute if we don't know where it's going. And I know that my town council is going to be granular on this. So I think if we can pick what's important for the region and for moving that forward, I think that that would probably be better.
And as a small town with not a lot of money coming, I don't mind the concept that it would be somebody come up with a not to exceed amount, 2% up to some amount, which narrows the pool, but it may increase the likelihood of funding. Okay. It's like not
the other option. I mean, the other option would be to identify areas and see what towns want to participate in, because like I know Steve just mentioned small business support. That's like something that East Hartford is really going to be looking for. And we're going to look for partnering with the Small Business Administration to provide not only exceptional guidance to local small businesses, but also to develop a revenue pool for that. So
we also have Jason with his hand raised.
So I would just offer my two cents that I think that doing something on a regional basis would make some sense if we're able to identify what the regional benefit was and towns opted into what that offering may be. And following up on Steve's point, we just finished doing a small business and nonprofit assistance program a week and a half ago, where we ended up awarding a portion of our ARP allocation to about 115 local businesses and nonprofits. And we did a solicitation program. And if anybody wants more information on that, I'd be happy to provide the framework that we used and the consultant that we brought on to administer it.
I think it's important to hear from other communities that are on the call and see where they fall on this. Anyone else want to share their thoughts?
So if I may, Mayor LeClerc, so just in the city of Hartford, just to echo the same comments, some of the comments that were made, we too have already identified where our ARPA money would be going to. And, you know, that has been approved by our council already. So exactly the same comment you made would be something that we'd have to go backwards on. But I do think that from a regional initiative, you know, having a better understanding of what we can, how we can participate as a larger city, but understanding that we also have resources that we're utilizing currently to try to get that money out the door.
I'm just wondering if there isn't a regional initiative that would benefit all of the communities, if it's something we shouldn't focus on where there's an equalized benefit approach. So no matter what you're contributing, it's contributing to the greater good. So I know that.
I concur.
Mayor Peter Souza.
Peter, yes.
To your last point, one area that we've done a lot, the CROG has done quite a bit of work on, is our SEDS relating to talent recruitment and job training. And that would be one that I would like to advance, is so that helps the entire region move forward. And if that could help leverage other federal dollars for job retraining, you know, be it in those four or five key industries, that may be something that kind of to what you and Randall had mentioned about kind of a broader region wide that we all would benefit. But I also like Selectman Kervik's idea about the, you know, the narrow band in terms of technical assistance. I do think that's going to be a need for many of our smaller communities in the region. One thought I had was, if could you put along, building on Chris's email or his thought about the memo, is that the motion rather, that it be for up to 2% for projects such as, and that way there, those projects could then be vetted out, but with a particular emphasis early on about reporting and coordination, so that, and then towns could respond back perhaps by, I'm going to pick a date out of the air, you know, December 1st, as far as their thoughts on participating. Thank you.
So I don't know where we go from here. So I think we, before people, before I could go to my council, I would need to have a little more finite information. And I'm wondering if we couldn't create a subcommittee very quickly that could kind of wade through some of this, that would make it more palatable for communities to participate. Chip?
Well, maybe could we just send a letter as a question about, we would like to consider this, for people to see, and say we've got to work on the projects and what interest there is, but do it more as a solicitation letter to be an adjunct to communities planning for these funds. You know, like disaffected youth, we've all talked about, we have no money, but maybe we don't have the right thing in mind to tell a council that this is what we want to do, but we, if they save the money or put it in their next round of money, then we could talk about what that would be that would benefit the most people in the region.
So Peter, though, getting back to your comment in regards to that, I know that Capital Workforce Partner is getting a huge influx of funding under this. So I'm almost hesitant to think that we would utilize our money. There might be an avenue, or we could be a component to that, but I'm just wondering how we can utilize other existing agencies to kind of do some of the work that we're thinking of and partner with them in some capacity. I'm sure that they're going to be in the same situations we're in. How do we get this money in play quick enough, identifying the areas that we really believe are critically important for the region and our communities? I just think without being redundant in our efforts, I think that is where I'm hesitant to seek this out. So, you know, I think we know that through this pandemic, digital connectivity is important for our region. We know that consultation for small communities to bring to bear the reporting requirements on the ARPA funding is important. I think the GIS, is we can get money there for infusion into the GIS would be important.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
John Coleman, it seems to me, listening to this conversation, that before we send another request or discussion out to the municipalities, that we probably ought to flesh it out a little more, get a little more specific, as a number of individuals have suggested, see if we need to coordinate with other organizations such as CWP. But do it, you know, maybe a small group would be really appropriate to do that, because obviously a lot of towns are starting to put their plans in place. So we want to see if we are going to ask for, make a request. We want to try and get there before they finalize those plans. But I think that it's probably premature to send what we have out at this point. There seem to be too many questions. And the other thing, quite frankly, that strikes me are the differences in comments by the larger municipalities and the smaller municipalities. Right. And I would just ask that we all remember that we are 38 very different communities making up this region with different needs and requirements, and that we need to work together as a group and not just stand on our own individual needs.
Well, I certainly recognize that. I think we should create a subcommittee, but I also recognize that we're all in front of a larger elected body that we need to persuade, and we kind of preempt what we know that they're going to be asking, and rather than put ourselves in a situation that is not going to be tenable, we should have more finite information to bring forward. So I guess with that, is there anyone that would like to serve on a steering committee to kind of reshape this? Chip Beckett? Anyone else?
I'm happy to do so, Madam Chairman. Chris Kervick.
And Peter?
Yeah, okay. I will as chair of Municipal Services Committee. I think I'd serve.
Do you want to fold it under your municipal?
I would say at this point, no.
Okay.
just to be able to move faster, because just from a time perspective.
Okay. Is there anyone else? John Coleman?
I'll do it. This is Steve. I'll do it.
Steve, great. And certainly I'll serve for as long as I'm here, but hopefully that we can come up with something rather quickly.
Yep. Mayor LaClark, if I can provide any free input, I'd be happy to, so let me know.
Lyle, your input is always appreciated and your guidance always appreciated.
Bryce is always right.
We know that John and you move at a greater speed than us, so happy to do that. So why don't we put that together? If there's anyone else that's on the line that wants to, please let Laura know your interest, and we'll get a date on to flush these things out and try to see where we can take this.
Madam Chair, is there a way to get this out the door before the next board meeting? And maybe there isn't. I mean, if it needs to be discussed fully by the next board meeting, it's just...
I'm hoping that, you know, within the next week, we could probably get a carve out of an hour to flush it out and see if we have some mutual consensus and then to get it out. Yeah, I think that's fair.
In other words, we could send it as an email to members in case they have a problem, and otherwise we'll send it out.
Yeah.
Right. I just wouldn't. My suggestion would not be not to wait till the next board meeting.
No, but I do think that there needs to be more better refined communication than what is here. So I think that would be our goal.
Yep.
So that, like I said, there's an elected body of officials that stand behind us in order to get the money released. Would also mean an amendment to our already adopted plans for the ARPA funding in communities like East Hartford and Hartford. And is CROG a 501c3?
Our foundation is, but CROG is not.
So as being a 501c3, I believe what we could send money through the foundation. The foundation could then be the distributor, which might be a way around it that gives a little more wiggle room. So that's something we can do.
I think also as a subdivision of the state, we would qualify as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Madam Chair, my suggestion would be to charge the subcommittee or the committee with the work and then report to the whole board electronically with a proposed course of action, and then proceed before the next board meeting to get that rolling, if that would be very concrete.
I don't have a problem with that. Does anyone have a problem with that? It doesn't appear so. So I think that's very doable.
Yeah, I just wanted to be specific, and I don't want to step on Pauline's lines here, but
she's still smiling, so I don't think that's so. All right, so we'll move on, and we'll get this coordinated. Thank you.
Great.
The next item that we have coming before us is the resolution authorizing CROG Executive Director to submit a spending plan and enter into a memorandum of agreement regarding the fiscal year 2021 Federal Homeland Security grant funding for the Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security Region 3.
So move, Madam Chair.
Moved by John, seconded by
Chip.
Chip. Any questions? Seeing none, we'll just call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you. The next item we have before us is an action item authorizing us to approve a solid waste consultant. Pauline, do you want to talk a little bit about this? I know at the last meeting we did talk about MIRA's MIRA's issues and the need to consolidate and bring on board another consultant to ensure that we're not left without options for disposal of solid waste.
I don't know if we'll have very good short-term options, but there doesn't seem to be any leadership with regards to what the long-term looks like in terms of solid waste, and with MIRA's demise, what is going to happen with solid waste for the 50 towns that plus that send their waste to MIRA. And so we're proposing hiring a consultant to sort of lay out the options, the pros and cons. Here are the long-term options. If it's a new plant location, if it's the same location, what are the issues? And if it's a different location, what are the issues there? What are the what's the short and medium term options if with regards to do we need, and what are the permitting needs for all of those options? Just sort of lay that out sooner rather than later so that people can make informed decisions, or we can push the state or communities or region or someone to be able to move this forward.
So MIRA, I had my last board meeting today, as I officially am resigning as of October 1st from that board. But knowing that they're becoming very challenged, and knowing that what's in front of us does not look good, there definitely is a need. So I think bringing in a consultant would be a really smart move. I do want to say that they are going to have quorum issues shortly. So if anyone has interest to serve on the MIRA board, they should reach out to the governor's office and ask to serve. John Adams and myself both will be are no longer serving. Dick Barlow has stepped off. So there is going to be a quorum problem in order to move any business.
Shanley's gone too.
Shanley's gone. So I'm just asking if there's anyone here that so needs another meeting to attend and to fix another problem, they might want to reach out and serve on that committee, since it is an important long-term issue that needs to be resolved. We have a motion to approve to hire a solid waste consultant. Do I have a motion to move?
No move, Madam Chair.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Anything for further discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you. I'd like to recognize John Coleman for two action items. The first one being a TIF amendment. They are included in your packet.
John? Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an earmark project that the town has decided not to pursue at this point, and therefore the project is being deleted, but the funds themselves remain, and they remain indefinitely unless at some point the federal government decides to do a rescission, which is as usually does not occur, so that the town does have the option to reprogram these funds and go and obviously put them back through the TIP project. And I would so move approval of the TIP amendment.
Motion before you, moved by Chip Beckett. Second is
it was seconded, yes.
Yep. I'll call for a motion. Call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. John, the next is the bike share feasibility update.
Yes, this is a resolution authorizing the acting executive director to enter into an agreement with the consulting firm Foursquare Integrated Transportation to complete the bike share feasibility study. They have gone through the appropriate selection process. This has been approved by the Transportation Committee. They recommend approval, and I would so move.
Second.
Discussion?
Madam Chair, just...
Yes, Peter, go right ahead.
Is there a cost estimate at this point in time to complete the study?
You know, that's a good question. I do not see it. I think there was an upset number, but Rob should know that.
I believe it's 50,000.
Right, that's what I thought it was.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion carried. Next, we have Kathy. Do you have anything that you can share on a legislative update?
There's not much going on. There is a special session scheduled for next week. 2 days, as right now, as it's scheduled. Senator Looney has been fairly adamant that the only thing they're going to take up will be extending the governor's executive powers. There is obviously continues a lot of conversation on doing the climate TCI that was not brought up in the regular session. Senator Looney also did say he wanted to bring it up and hoped to do it in the next special session this year. So there is an assumption that next week won't be all that's happening, but otherwise it's still very, very quiet and nothing decided other than keeping the building at first floor open only in both the legislative office building and the Capitol.
Great, thank you, Kathy. Any questions for Kathy? Seeing none, is there any other business to come before the board?
Madam Chairman, Dave Nagel in Newington. I just wanted to mention, just to make other communities aware, Newington High School has had a bomb scare this morning during this meeting. School was evacuated. The building was surveyed and was false. I know once these things happen, they tend to have copycat ones in other communities. So just wanted to make other people aware that might be something that may unfortunately be coming up.
Thank you. Anything else to come before the board?
Just, Madam Chairman, Chris Carr, I just want to briefly point out that CT Transit and DOT has initiated local bus service between Windsor train station and the Windsor Locks train station. That's a full-time 6 a.m. to midnight, roughly, service all day long so that people can now take the train to the bus to Bradley. This we were told this wasn't going to happen until after our station was completed, which is probably 2 years off, but it started August 22nd. So credit where credit is due. We thank CT Transit and DOT for taking that step, and we're going to organize some sort of a riding event to bring publicity to the fact that that service is now available. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any other business to come before? And there's a list of upcoming meetings noted at the bottom of the schedule. And if there's no other business to come before us, I will call for an adjournment.
No move, Madam Chair.
Good. How are you?
Thank you, John.
Second, Lori Spielman.
Thank you. All in favor, let's go.
Aye.
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 Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
bye.
Bye.
Bye.